Welcome to a very spooky October episode of the Catbox Chronicles. I am Count Dracula. Oh, did we lose the power to the microphone? No, we did not. I am Justin, and who are you, scary lady, and who's sitting beside me?
I am Melanie.
And it is the October episode, the Halloween episode of Catbox Chronicles, and we are not going to be talking like this the whole time. So, welcome to the show.
You made it with us to October.
Woohoo, it's October.
That's, what, 2 months of having this podcast now?
Yeah, and it's going to start snowing this month. Crap, if it hasn't already.
It doesn't snow in October.
It did last year. Excuse me.
It did. But it didn't, like, officially snow until, like, the end.
I just dusted the microphone. All right, so what are we talking about this week on Catbox Chronicles?
So, since Justin and I both work with vulnerable adults, individuals that either have mental health issues or some sort of disability, we wanted to talk about how to host an inclusive Halloween for everybody, not just the kids that, like, come up to the door and ring the doorbell and say, trick or treat, thank you, you know, because there's going to be teenagers or children that might fall under the autism umbrella and that may be nonverbal. And you might be like, oh, well, that kid's kind of rude because they didn't say hello, trick or treat, thank you. Well, maybe they can't.
Not everybody's going to say trick or treat. Not everybody's going to be able to communicate that to you, you know, so you got to be aware that there's other people out there that are just not the same as your average trick-or-treater.
And if you see a teenager at your door having fun trick-or-treating, like,
so what?
Please
don't
look down
fun
on them.
Yeah.
There are much worse things that they could be doing than getting candy.
And I know there are adults out there that like to trick-or-treat.
Oh, so yeah. Previous years, we've had adults dressed up, one as a baseball player and one as a dog. They were a couple, and they were so excited.
Yeah, they like to have fun, too. So do we. So, I mean, to each their own. If that's what you're into, by all means, continue doing that.
So the first article is connecting for kids, but it can also be for teenagers and adults that have disabilities as well.
So obviously there are some people out there who have sensory issues.
Yeah, sensory
on average,
is a big thing.
Yeah, on average it's 1 in 6 children in the United States. Children who struggle with sensory issues have trouble processing information received through the senses. For example, a kid with sensory aversion to loud noises may cover his ears or in a noisy gymnasium. I mean, I've seen this, you know, countless times. People just can't handle loud noises very well.
Or if you decorate your yard with, like, animated, like, grave sites, that might be too much for some people. Like, yes, they're fun, and we all love them, but for some children or teenagers or possibly adults that are with children, that might be a little bit too much auditory sensory for them.
Yeah, just realize that there are people out there that have these sensitivities, you know, and this suggests limiting your sensory triggers such to things such as fog machines. What about strobe lights? Loud sound effects, those sometimes are not good in all cases. You know, we might have a person that gets seizures with
strobe lights. Well, and it's recommended to keep the animated decorations for adult parties.
Yeah, and I would say if you're one of those adults of these children who have these issues, you know, be aware that there are people out there that don't know this. You know, there are people out there that are not going to know, oh, your kid has sensory issues. There are people out there that just sometimes don't care, unfortunately. Kids might have sensory issues and be wearing a costume. You're not going to know that. You're not going to know if a kid has, you know, these issues until they present themselves. Be sensitive to children experiencing this. You know, Halloween is overwhelming for some kids. It's not all fun and games for everybody.
No, because some children might go to 5 houses and be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many people, you know?
I tell you, when I was in middle school, I used to still like to go trick-or-treating, even though I was getting older at that point. I was like, well, Halloween's kind of lame, but it was a night to go out and have fun. It's still a night to go out to have fun.
One thing that Justin and I do, I don't know how many of you listeners have heard of, but if you go on the foodallergy.org website, there's a thing called the Teal Pumpkin Project from Food Allergy Research and Education. And 1 in 13 children are diagnosed with food allergies, and many more experience issues with food including diabetes, swallowing issues, and oral motor challenges. Traditional candy treats can cause some unintended Halloween struggles for these children, but there's an easy fix. Consider offering non-food treats as an alternative to traditional Halloween candy. When you choose to participate in FARES, F-A-R-E, apostrophe lowercase s, Teal Pumpkin Project, or just keep a few non-food treats on the side for a child who needs them. So we just stock up on a bunch of toys from the dollar store.
I was going to say, you don't actually have to pass out candy all the time. I mean, sometimes people might get upset about that, but, you know, Halloween is all about having fun. So we like to do something different. We like to give out toys, you know, like little dollar store toys that you can easily obtain, you know, if you're on a budget.
They got, like, these cool, like, football with wings things. Like,
and they make noise.
And they make noise. And, like, a couple years ago, the couple that dressed up as, like, a football player and a dog, like, they were just ecstatic. They're like, this is awesome. So when you go to the website, to the foodallergy.org website, you can type in the search bar, Teal Pumpkin Project. And they don't have it up yet. Or maybe as of this episode, they will, because it's closer to Halloween. But when I checked last month, they didn't have it up yet. But you can sign up to be a part of the Teal Pumpkin Project. And so then your address gets put on a map.
Nice.
That families can look at and be like, oh, these houses are handing out things other than candy.
I'd be curious to know how many people around here do that.
Well, when the map's up, we can look.
One of the things about trick-or-treating is it could trigger anxiety, especially in children. 1 in 8 children has anxiety disorder in the United States, and that's a pretty dang high number. I'm surprised by some of these numbers.
Or the parents might have anxiety that take their children around.
Yeah, and it causes anxiety in children. So while many of us look forward to spooky, fun, traditional stuff involving Halloween, children with anxiety disorders might be overcome by fears and they might be unable to participate. But there are some ways you can get around that, I guess. Save creepy decorations and scary effects for adult parties, as you said earlier. You know, keep that stuff that's super gory and super realistic, you know, maybe keep that away.
Or maybe have your candy or your treats on a table out in your driveway and maybe have the scary decorations like closer to your house.
Mm-hmm.
So like when the adults and children come up to get your treats, it's not the main focus for them.
And I don't know if there's any legal precedent behind this, but scaring people, if you're hiding in your front yard and random people are coming up to your door to get candy, jumping out of a bush, probably not the best idea.
Oh,
not
that
the smartest
shouldn't be
idea.
A good idea for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it can affect adults, too. Keep your pets inside. Yeah, I mean, it helps keep your pets safe, obviously, but children who struggle with anxiety with animals, there's people that are afraid of dogs. You know, you don't want to go to a door and have a big dog in your face. So make sure the location where you hand out your treats is well lit. Obviously, most of us, when we were younger, when we go trick-or-treating, we remember houses that don't have lights on, we probably just skip.
You don't go to the houses that don't have
lights. Yeah, we probably just skipped them.
And you should never go into anyone's house.
Yeah, please, for the love of God, don't go into any houses. Especially if you're a kid by yourself. Avoid wearing masks or scary costumes when handing out treats. Like I said earlier, don't jump out of the woods or jump out of the bush to scare people coming up to your door.
Like, if you want to dress as Count Dracula, like, by all means, do that. But maybe limit the amount of makeup that you wear. Or if you wear makeup, maybe limit the amount of blood, fake blood that you wear type thing. You know, you can still have fun. You can still decorate. You can still dress up. But
I don't know if I necessarily agree with this next one. It says, let children know that it's okay to be afraid.
Well, it is okay to be afraid.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to encounter that throughout their lives. You know, you're going to be afraid at other things. But I mean, I don't know if I would encourage people telling people, hey, you know, it's okay to be afraid. That kind
if of, it's a 3-year-old,
yeah, that
they
kind of rubs
need
me
to
wrong.
Know that it's okay to be afraid.
Still kind of rubs me wrong. I don't know.
Some other tips to keep in mind. Children who are non-speaking may not be able to say trick or treat or thank you. Do not push for verbal responses and be sensitive to children who do not give social feedback. Be prepared to describe treats for children with blindness or low vision issues. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you are handing out treats in a well-lit, accessible area if your house is not accessible. consider handing out treats in a different location. For example, in the driveway or in the community
common
area.
We did this last year. We went up to the edge of the driveway to hand out treats because it was obviously COVID was still raging on. It's still going to be raging on by the time this episode's going. You know, that was a precaution that we took because of COVID. We put the container of goodies at the end of the driveway.
And we individually wrapped goodie bags with toys. So, like, you didn't contaminate the toys themselves. They were in like clear gift bags that you could see. So like you could see what you were getting. You didn't have to like contaminate every toy in the bag for everybody else. But we just put the bin at the end of the driveway and let kids pick their own.
So when addressing trick-or-treaters, make sure they see your face and mouth as you speak. Obviously, this is helping people with speech and hearing issues. Sometimes people can't understand what you're saying. You gotta speak clearly. Just tell them, you know, tell them, be truthful. Be like, hey, how are you doing? You know, like,
greet them. You would anybody
else.
Yeah,
just like, it's like talking to an average person. Be observant. Children with anxiety or issues may wander from a caregiver or a safe area. You know, children have a big tendency to wander, especially if they're by themselves. I don't know if I would send us children with special needs out by themselves. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Well, kids are gonna be kids and wander, though.
Yeah, absolutely. To go along with that, we wanted to talk about, you might see children with dark blue pumpkin buckets or teal pumpkin buckets. We have a teal bucket that we put in front of our house under our light so people can see that we're part of the Teal Pumpkin Project. You might see a dark blue bucket.
What's a dark blue bucket mean?
That's supposed to signify children who fall under the autism umbrella and who may not be able to say trick or treat or thank you or please or stuff like that. There's some controversy here, and I get it. Like, some people don't think that their child should have to carry a different bucket than someone else.
And if you're a parent that thinks that, go ahead and by all means do it the normal way.
Like, I totally get it. I work with disabled adults. Like,
you have a choice.
You want your child, you want your family member, your friend, to be treated the same way as everybody else. Like, you don't want them to be treated differently.
I see where they're coming from.
So I totally get it if you reject the teal or blue bucket. Like, totally get it. But just know if a child and or a teenager or adult comes to your house and they don't say anything, there could be a reason why.
Yeah.
But
nobody's perfect.
The Blue Bucket Project was started in 2019. The aim is to bring awareness to the challenges that individuals who are on the spectrum, children, teenagers, or adults, might face on Halloween. Some children may be nonverbal, and many times it is perceived as being rude when not saying trick-or-treat or thank you. Other children may not have a costume on due to sensory reasons, make eye contact, or they may be scared when approaching homes for candy.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to anyone with a blue pumpkin and make sure to be inviting and inclusive. The Blue Pumpkin Project helps give independence to children so they can enjoy Halloween. So the next thing is talking about what you can give out for the Teal Pumpkin Project. So instead of food, Justin, what are some good alternatives that they can find at, say, the dollar store?
Stickers. You know, dollar stores are loaded with stickers, and especially
children love stickers.
The only problem I can see with that is people sticking them on like random light poles. That's why the state fair here doesn't give out stickers. Pencils, erasers, notebooks, you know, like school supplies. Glow sticks.
Mini notebooks.
Yeah, mini notebooks. You know, I would love to get that if I was a kid. I would use the hell out of those things. Glow sticks are awesome. Bubbles, bookmarks, bubbles twice, and keychains.
We also get, like, little bouncy balls for, like, well, okay, they're pretty good size bouncy balls.
Yeah, they're
balls,
not little.
But they're Disney-themed or superhero-themed that the three-year-olds like, that the parents can, you know, play with their kids. We get, like, the footballs that have, like, the tails on them that whistle that kids and adults like. Sometimes the parents see those and be like, well, we're going to play with that, too. Browse your local, like, dollar store and see what they have.
See what their toys are, yeah. It's a really cheap alternative to buying a crap load of candy that might go bad or you might not, you know, give out. Around here in our neighborhood, we have maybe, like, 10 people at most.
Oh, we had, there's, what, 16?
It depends on the year. Yeah, last year was actually better than the year before.
But sometimes it's better to just buy, like, $20 worth of dollar store toys than it is to spend, like, $50 on candy that you eat half of before Halloween gets here.
We used to do that as kids.
Or you eat the entire three bags you bought and then have to go buy more. If you're some of us. I mean, check it out. It's not a bad deal.
I don't know about you, but a lot of kids when they grow up are afraid of the dark. So there are kids probably out there that won't want to go out Halloween night. So what do you do if you have a kid that doesn't want to go out at night? Well, you can do something during the day. Halloween is a full day. You know, October 31st is a full day, obviously. Duh. And you can do alternatives to this. You don't have to wear a costume all day, but have a day of, like, I know when we were in school and Halloween was on a weekday, our school would have fun events. You know, our school would have trick-or-treating things during the day. You know,
nursing homes.
Yeah,
the elderly love seeing children.
And I know that where we used to live in Sheridan, they always had these kind of events, and they were in the afternoons. You know, they would go around and the residents would hand out candy and the kids could go meet the kid.
Especially if you have young children who don't stay up that late.
Yeah, there's so many things. There's so many possibilities. Here's a good one that I would like to do this year that we didn't get to do last year. Pumpkin picking.
Ooh.
Or apple picking. You know, we have an apple orchard that's not terribly far away from us. It's about a 20-minute drive. Go pumpkin or apple picking. Traditional autumn activities that never get old. Decorating or carving a pumpkin. There are people out there that are in their 60s and 70s that just absolutely love Halloween. You know, it's a special time of year for a lot of people. And there's so many cool activities you can do during the day. You know, you don't need to go out at night. A boo bucket. What is a boo bucket?
Tell us.
It's not a boo bucket. It's a boo bucket. Get a cute, spooky bucket and fill it with a bunch of treats and goodies. Yeah, create your own bucket.
Yeah.
Or have a movie night. Watch fun Halloween movies like Hocus Pocus.
I know a bunch of people that just watch a whole bunch of horror movies on Halloween night. Like, they don't hand out candy. They don't decorate. They just shut their lights off, pretend they're not home, and watch a whole bunch of scary movies.
Yeah, and if you have cable, AMC is running a spooky thing this month. They have a whole month worth of scary movies. So there you go. I mean, it's cable, so they're going to edit all the crappy parts.
Or Hocus Pocus 2 is coming out
pretty
soon.
Yeah, it'll be on Disney.
So maybe that would be a marathon to watch.
Disney Plus has a whole crap load of Halloween-related stuff. You know, just do a quick search on Disney Plus if that's what you're up to.
If you're into, like, your childhood Halloween movies, which I totally am.
Nostalgia. A lot of millennials are doing nostalgia these days.
Hey, a side note. In other countries, millennials are known as the DuckTales generation.
Woo!
So that's, like, what I want to be known from. Like, I don't want to be known as a millennial anymore. I want to be known as someone from the DuckTales
generation. Well, I know what our outro music is now. Arts and crafts. Halloween is not complete without doing some arts and crafts. As I said, decorating pumpkins, coloring pages, sensory activities. You know, there's all sorts of crafts. And these are not only good for Halloween, they're good for the fall in general.
You could make, like, a Halloween paper chain to help your child count down the days to Halloween.
Because it is fall, by the way.
You could make a paper wreath with your child or children. Or if it's just you, you could do these things on your own to be festive, like... You don't need a reason to do these things. If you want to do them, do them.
Don't need a reindeer. What else we got this episode, this mammoth Halloween episode?
We don't have a kete in the news story, but we wanted to let you know how to keep your pets safe on Halloween, especially if your pets are escape artists.
Yeah, like our Maddie Gee.
Bobo's kind of an escape artist, too.
He can be. He can bum rush the door.
The first way to minimize pets getting injured is if you're able to, before the trick-or-treating starts, put your pets in a quiet room where they will be safe from all the Halloween activity. If your pup is likely to try to run out the front door and is comfortable in a crate, consider putting them in a crate with a treat-filled toy and some soft music playing in the background. A spritz of Feel Away. Find it on Amazon. Can help keep cats calm.
I don't know how well that stuff works, but back in the 90s when you and I were kids trick-or-treating, people let their dogs outside all the time, and it was annoying walking by houses.
Well, those houses kind of scared me away, though, because I was like, I don't want to go up to a house that has, like, a big, intimidating, barking dog.
Yeah.
Minimize noise by sitting outside to keep trick-or-treaters from knocking on the door or ringing the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're just having a few friends over for a Halloween party, keep your pets away from the festivities in their safe room. Masks and costume change how people look and smell to a pet, so even familiar people may become frightening, Put a sign on the door to the safe room so your guests know it's off limits. When going trick-or-treating, leave your dog at home. Dogs can be easily excited by Halloween commotion, and a bite or lost dog will quickly end the evening's fun.
Yeah, and I know there are people out there that have raised their dogs really well, and they have trained them to be, you know, obedient around crowds and stuff like that. There are some exceptions to that, letting your dog go with you.
I mean, if you have a service animal, please take them with you.
Yeah.
You need them, and we want you to be safe.
Obviously, you don't want your pets eating the candy, though, because chocolate is bad news for dogs, especially, and cats. Oh. But there's ways that you can treat your pet as well. The things that you want to look out for are chocolate, gum, and, you know, lots of Halloween candy is pretty poisonous for animals. Just don't do it. Don't feed your animal any Halloween candy. Watch your kids. Kids might make the mistake of sharing their loot with your pup or your cat. Don't let them do that. And if that inevitable unfortunately happens, keep the 24-hour ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center hotline handy. I didn't even know such a thing existed. I know the regular poison hotline for humans existed, but not the ASPCA one. It's 1-888. That's 1-888-426-4435. And we'll probably put this up in the episode description. And they may charge you a fee. Fair warning.
Well, a fee or a trip to the emergency vet if your animal gets a hold of chocolate, because we took one of our pets to the emergency vet and there was a dog who had ate a bag of cocoa powder.
Oh no.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
And so they, because it was an emergency, they let that dog patient go first and they made the dog throw up.
Yeah,
they're induced vomiting.
Pumpkin is good for dogs and cats, but not too much. All right.
A little bit can help them poop if they're constipated.
Everything in moderation, because a lot of it can cause digestive issues, as Melanie said. Rotting pumpkin may harbor bad bacteria. So keep your jack-o'-lanterns away from your pets, especially after Halloween when they start rotting. Some other tips include...
Steer your pets away from dangerous Halloween decorations. Introduce your pets to their safe room before you decorate indoors. Changes to your home can make your pets, especially cats, nervous or frightened. Mm-hmm. Or they may decide those fake spiders pose an
existential?
Yes, thank you. Threat and need to be killed. So you may come home to your spider decorations all over your house. Be aware which decorations pose threats. Some hazards are obvious, like lit candles, obviously fire hazards and toxic to birds if scented. Other potentially dangerous decorations include rubber eyeballs, choking risk, glow sticks and fake blood, possible poisons, fake cobwebs, can choke or entangle pets and wildlife, potpourri, toxic to birds, and strong lights. Watch out for those candy wrappers and plastic packaging too. Create pet-friendly holiday decor. Make your cat a haunted house out of a cardboard box and put treats and toys in a paper bag. Remove any handles first, as cats can get stuck, for a feline version of trick or treat.
Yeah. Aww, poopery is dangerous too.
That's cute. We should do that for our kitties. Aww. Get some boxes and make them like decorate it like a fun house.
Yeah. If you're gonna dress your pet up, just be careful. A lot of this is common sense. You know your pet better than anything. Judge how long they can tolerate a costume.
Especially one with a hat.
Yeah, masks and hat that fit around the face might be okay for a small amount of time. Quick enough to take a picture for your Instagram feed. You darn influencers. But it can pose a danger. Your cat can choke on it or something. There's so many dangers that can happen.
Or it's just uncomfortable to them and they don't want it.
And a lot of pet owners might not take the precautions and unavoidable accidents happen. Be careful of chewable parts, objects that could come off. If your pet is uncomfortable, take the darn thing off. Don't abuse your cat or dog.
Or any other pet that you dress up.
Get the shot and call it good. Get your fabulous likes on Instagram and turn it off. Or take it off.
Number 5, protect your pets from outdoor dangers. And there's a part of this that we want to tell you about is a myth. But first, we'll do this part. Bring your pets indoors before night falls. Cats are always safest inside with you. But on Halloween, it's especially important to secure all pets inside so they don't run away out of fear of adults and children in costumes. Or in case they escape, make sure that all of your pets are wearing tags with current IDs and that their microchip is registered with your most up-to-date information. Opening the door repeatedly for trick-or-treaters creates plenty of opportunities for a pet to slip outside and disappear into the night. Proper ID will help you reunite with your lost pet, and take a recent picture of your pet that can be used for lost flyers just in case they get lost.
One of the things I was going to say is regarding your pets going missing and stuff like that. There are people out there that unfortunately will take your animals. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the story about the dog getting taken by the lady. There are some strange people out there that have God knows what intention with your animal. Probably better to keep it indoors.
Also, be aware that not all wild creatures outside will be wearing costumes. You may see nocturnal animals such as raccoons, possums.
Especially around here, yeah.
Foxes, we have coyotes in the woods behind our house, foraging for food while you're trick-or-treating or walking from your car to a party. That brings us really quick before we end this episode to, are black cats the most, for lack of a better word, hunted during Halloween?
What do you mean by that?
So there's this myth that during Halloween, because black cats are supposedly bad luck, that they get harmed or killed more often.
I've never heard of this before you brought this up today.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Snopes.com, you know, the website that debunks everything, did a extensive study on this. And no, contrary to what we might all believe, black cats have the same chances as orange ones, white ones, Siamese, whatever, to get hit or get lost or whatnot, or just to end up in bad hands. Black cats, they aren't more susceptible to this. Also, if you're in the market for a pet, a cat, during October or close to Halloween, the pet shelters, I think the Animal Humane Society will take in a lot more black cats to try to give them safe homes and get them off the streets. I remember when we lived out in Wyoming, the dog and cat shelter had so many black cats and or black and white tuxedo variations that they had a sale.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So if you adopted a black cat, it was like $20. Or if you got two, it was like two cats for $50.
Yeah.
Because they had so many cats. Please know to keep your pets inside. If you see a stray cat and you know it's a stray, maybe just for one night, you could take it in. Just so it's safe.
Or if it has a collar, see if you can find the owner.
Yes, or return it to its owner so it can be safe.
Just proves, I guess, that the myth is busted that black cats are more susceptible to getting taken than any other cat or dog for that matter.
We hope that we told you guys information that will help you have a safe and inclusive Halloween for everybody.
Yeah, and when this episode airs, Halloween's not for another couple of weeks. We realize that. But we just want to get people prepared just ahead of time. You know, just to... Halloween's the biggest holiday of this month, so get ready.
Absolutely. Like, get your decorations on. Get your costumes ready.
Get your freak on. Get your funk on, too.
Get your movies picked out if that's what you're doing. And just have fun.
Yeah, just enjoy yourselves. So that'll do it for this episode of Catbox Chronicles. Have a safe and spooky Halloween.
Ooh.
It's not even Halloween yet. What are we talking about?
Halloween's in a few weeks.
Oh, shit. We'll see you later.
Thanks for staying with us.
Cue the DuckTales.
Woo.